So good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to see you. If you are able and you're comfortable doing so, it'd be nice to have your camera on so we can see you out there. In this multifocal session, I just thought of what to call it. Because we are located in so many different places, more than one Zendo. Here we are at Blue Mountain Zendo, and some of you are at Wall Street Zendo. You Wall Street folks, you could turn your camera on so we could see out there too. There they are, thank you. And then people who just at a glance I can see are all over not only our region, but our continent and perhaps beyond. So that's the miracle of this strange hybrid way of practicing that we have, we and many Zen centers have created over the past months. And it's shifting and changing. So you'll see us kind of trying to work that out as we go. And thank you all. Thank you all for... People have been so amazingly engaged and steady. And even the folks who have only come intermittently, It really feels like the connection has been maintained, and we still feel those folks out there who, for whom Zoom hasn't even worked, and are starting to show up at the Zendo now that we can practice there again. So, really have a strong sense of how important this practice has been for people over these long months of so much uncertainty and often anxiety. And yeah, so, well, here we are. We first conceived of this session as a kind of complement to or counterpart to Loon Lake session, which is in November, the short days of the year, so we thought it would be good to have one in the long summertime days of the year. One of the wonderful aspects of doing a residential session 24/7, so to speak, of practicing, is the rhythms of the day and night. The changing light and the sounds, everything from the pre-dawn bird song to looking up and seeing the moon on your way back from the Zendo to your cabin. And the cooking and the eating meals together, the cleaning and the working, and of course walking outdoors as well as sitting in the Zendo. And outdoor practice has been something that we really have emphasized and included in these mountains and waters sessions. That 24/7 and sense of place, sense of time and place when we do a residential session really deepens and strengthens our practice and builds a kind of collective Buddha body. I always think of it as a Buddha body of practice that we create together. And this is the second year that we won't be able to do that. We won't be at Sea to Sky Retreat Center at the foot of that volcanic, jagged, black tusk mountain, looking out across Daisy Lake at the Tantalus Range. we're grateful that COVID restrictions have lifted quite a bit, and that the infection rate has dropped, and that many people are able to enjoy being with family and friends again. But not everybody, many people still haven't, more and more, but many people still haven't been able to get their second shot yet, for various circumstances. And so we still didn't feel it was quite time to do a residential retreat in a small space at Sea to Sky. But we still want to practice with the land and the water this retreat. Mountains and the Waters. We named it Mountains and Waters after Dogen Zenji's Mountains and Waters Sutra, of course. A really beloved text for many of us. And so we thought, if we can't be in the mountains and waters of the wild or the near wild, let's explore the Dharma of our home ground, right where we are, in our backyards, gardens, parks, and patios. Let's see what our gardens have to teach us. I'm sure those of you who have done any gardening at all have some sense of what the garden can teach us about tending the whole earth, about tending each other. So this session, like last year, and unlike when we did Loon Lake session in November the same way, with this, we're going to leave the whole daytime open. But we want to encourage you to give some structure to that time and make it part of your personal session. And we didn't have the heart to ask you to sit indoors with your laptop all day long. I'm sure many of you have had quite enough of that. Those of you who have been working at home with your laptops. So as much as you can, given your life circumstances, we want to encourage you to really cultivate practices that support mindfulness and quiet mind, not only indoors, but outdoors. And Michael is going to give you some suggestions in a bit. But first, I want to share some words from Dogen. In a text called Body and Mind Study the Way, Dogen says, "Mountains, rivers, earth, the sun, the moon, and stars are mind. At just this moment, what is it that appears directly in front of you?" I think that may be a good koan for this week. Something you might want to repeat to yourself, or write it on some post-it notes and stick here and there on your desk. On your front door, maybe, or your fridge. Mountains, rivers, earth, the sun, the moon, and stars are mind. At just this moment, what is it that appears directly in front of you? In saying this, he's referencing an old Chinese koan that goes like this. Once a monk asked Changsha, "How do you turn mountains, rivers, and the great earth into the self?" And Changsha, the Zen master, probably the other person was a student or a monk, Changsha replied, "How do you turn the self into mountains, rivers, and the great earth?" Before we get too confused by that, Dogen assures us. He says, "Wholeheartedly accept with trust that to study the way with mind is this mountains, rivers, and earth mind itself, thoroughly engaged in studying the way." I'll say that again. Wholeheartedly accept with trust that to study the way with mind is this mountains, rivers, and earth mind. He puts them all together, mountains, rivers, and earth mind itself, thoroughly engaged in studying the way. Note he uses those words, accept with trust. That to wholeheartedly engage in paying attention to the mind is simultaneously to pay attention to the entire world within and around us. We are made of mountains and waters, sunlight and rain, grasses and trees, earthworms and robins, and they are us and we are them. Many of you are, I'm sure, familiar with another text of Dogen. If there's anybody really new, I can't tell who's at the Zendo. Dogen is, of course, the Japanese Zen monk who went to China and brought this particular Zen tradition to Japan and established Soto Zen in Japan. And that was in the 13th century. So one of his most famous texts is called Genjo Koan, or Actualizing the Fundamental Point, with these famous words: to study the Buddha way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. To forget the self is to be actualized by the 10,000 things. When actualized by the 10,000 things, your body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. Classic Dogen lines. But let's give it a slightly different reading. To study the Buddha way is to study the garden. To study the garden self is to forget the garden self. To forget the garden self is to be actualized by the 10,000 things. When actualized by the 10,000 things, body and mind, as well as the bodies and minds of others, other beings, drop away. No trace of realization remains, and this no trace continues endlessly. So this week, during Sesshin, practice wholeheartedly with your whole life just as it is. Maybe your garden self is feeling tired and scorched from the hot weather. Or maybe your garden self is feeling refreshed by a cool shower, or wishing for one. Or maybe your garden self is fearful of the smoke and destruction to come with more wildfires. Or grateful for the fresh vegetables from your own garden or from the brave farmers trying to keep us fed, bringing their produce to the farmer's market. An orchardist from Coston, which is out near Carameas, who reported when we got cherries from him Saturday. Was that just yesterday? Yeah. That he one whole variety of his cherries had to go to juice. They weren't of a quality to sell. And then he said, well, but at least I was grateful they could go to juice, because my neighbor had to pick his and leave them laying on the ground. They weren't even good enough for juice. Another farmer who grows organic tomatoes said that he lost 1,000 pounds of tomatoes in the peak heat. So please, if prices of food go up and vegetables, please remember the farmers. And we still must support them and be grateful for them. There's my little, I wasn't planning on saying all that, but I really feel that so strongly. I had to put in a plug for the farmers. But this is the home ground to cultivate this coming week, the ground of your garden self. So please do that with attention and care, maybe with some surprises, maybe with moments of joy. Okay, so I'm going to pass it over to Michael, who will give you some more pointers for Sesshin.
Well, good evening, everyone. And let me give you my welcome, too, to this 2021 Mountains and Waters Sesshin. And Kate has already given, I think, a pretty complete and wonderful introduction to what we'll be practicing this week. And I really quite like the reframing of Dogen's words from the Genjo Koan to study the Buddha way. It's to study the garden. Certainly the garden can teach us so much things, as we'll discover this week if you haven't already learned a lot from your own garden or a garden you've had in the past. So studying the garden will be part of the focus for this session. But please be open to the various gardens in your life. You may have a garden of vegetables and flowers nearby, perhaps in your backyard or in a community garden, and you may not. You may have some plants on your balcony or on your back patio, and you may not. But regardless, you know, gardens are everywhere. And we hope you'll find some space and time this week to visit and sit in a garden somewhere. Perhaps a community garden or a garden that is part of a public park. And when you're there, please just listen for a little while. You may hear birdsong, or the buzz of insects, traffic, people talking, laughter of children. And yet, please go a little bit deeper. Listen to the plants. Listen to the soil itself. What are they telling you at this time? And let's also extend the idea of garden just a little bit more. And this week, of course, attending and being in our own gardens, if we have them, or visiting gardens around us, please also tend the garden of your heart and mind, the garden of your relationships with others. Also very important to tend. And garden of your connection to nature and the world, however it is at this moment. In other words, the garden of your life. Please tend that carefully this week. Now, as Kate spoke just a few moments ago, unfortunately, we cannot meet at Sea to Sky, such a beautiful place. But fortunately, we can support each other exactly where we are. Through this medium, distance has very little meaning, because at this moment, we are all present. And in this presence, we care for and we support each other. Now, still, we're not in a retreat center or in a monastery in that kind of formal way, where a schedule marks out the days, hours, and all our needs are taken care of. And really, this is a strong opportunity and teaching for all of us. Grounding in the morning and evening Zazen practice, the Dharma talks, the Dzogchen, the services, grounding in those things, how will you spend the hours that are not scheduled in this way? Sesshin is a very precious time. A time, as Dogen often tells us, to investigate deeply. What do we investigate? Well, each person will be unique, of course, but generally we investigate, as they arise, our hindrances, our connection to the world, our life, our freedom. So this week, as we sit, and throughout the day, please be aware of distractions. Please be aware of any way that you habitually waste time. Be aware of how these habits kind of assert themselves, unbidden and sometimes unnoticed. Be aware of the voice that says, well, maybe one episode of Netflix this week will be fine. Some of us, of course, will still be working and have jobs to attend to. And some of us will be knocking around the house with family. Some of us will have commitments that must be met. And that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. Let each of those events, each encounter, be woven into your practice for this week. Don't consider it as something to avoid or to deal with quickly, but as something to be fully met. Fully met. This is a precious opportunity to further investigate how your practice and your daily life fit together. To deeply appreciate that these two things are not two. So, some suggestions, as Kate promised I would give a few. So here's my suggestions, and we'll be repeating some of these throughout the week. So please spend some time outdoors each day, somewhere green, quietly walking, sitting, lying down. Make a point of each day to spend quiet time outside. If you can, please do Zazen under a big tree, just like the Buddha did. If you have a garden, of course, please attend it carefully, but also sit in your garden and look carefully at that radish plant growing, or the bug crawling across the lettuce. Just look. And if you don't have a garden, then please try visit a community garden. Look at the things growing. Spend a little bit of quiet time there, just looking. And at some point, please stand or sit near a living being, a tree, a bush, a bug somewhere, and silently observe it for maybe 5-10 minutes. What does it tell you? And as our Eno has already said, as best as you can, please keep the schedule and attend the Zazen sessions, Dharma talks, etc. And in this way, we give and we receive support from the Sangha at this session. You may also eat your meals and prepare them in silence if possible. And before eating, maybe you can express gratitude for the meal. And you may chant part or all of the meal chant that we traditionally do in session. And you can find that on the Mountain Rain website under resources. It's kind of, I think, the first PDF there, the meal chant. Tonight, and for the rest of the nights before you go to bed, just sit for a few minutes. Or maybe step outside for a few minutes and breathe the night air. And as Kate mentioned, consider now and consider carefully how you will spend those hours that are not scheduled. What will be nourishing for you to do in a way that is keeping with the feeling and sense of session practice? And perhaps most importantly, when you're distracted, or when you're pulled for some reason into the hurly-burly of your daily life, it's okay. Just return to the session practice as soon as you can. Just as in Zazen practice, when our mind wanders off, we just come back and we sit. So, because there's no teacher watching us during this session, there's no one else sitting exactly beside us in the physical space, we all need to be a little firm with ourselves. But we also need to be kind. Session is not an easy practice, especially without the constant and visible support of other people. But I am confident you can do it. I'm confident together we will deeply enter into our lives, holding the container for ourselves and holding the container for each other. And in this way, we become like a great forest, trees supporting each other, upright, still, witnessing each life fully for this week of session. Thank you very much for listening.